everyone. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You're with Corinne from The Crew Coach. And today I have a strategic success coach with us, Rory Peters. Welcome, Rory. And Rory's calling in from Greater Los Angeles. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So because it's the beginning of January, and obviously we're starting to think about our New Year's resolutions and goals, what we're going to be talking about today is visions and goals. Rory has a very interesting stat with regards to how many people actually actualize their goals. So what is that, Rory?
Well, last stat I read said that 83% of people who set a New Year's resolution never achieve it. About 17% do. And there could be a number of reasons why that is. But in my opinion, based on, you know, my life and the people that I coach, I've seen a pattern that appears over and over again. And if I had to tell you what it was and why I thought the number one reason was why 83% did make it and the 17 did, I believe it's because the 83% didn't decide to achieve their New Year's resolution. They more hoped and wished, and if you listen to the language that people use when they set a New Year's resolution, when they talk about it, they say things like, I'd like to lose 20 pounds this year, right? Or I hope to make more money this year, right? Or hope to get a raise this year. You hardly ever hear anybody say, I am going to lose 20 pounds in the next 6 months. I am going to get a raise. You don't hear that language. But I'm pretty confident the people who succeeded, the 17%, that was the language they used. They didn't hope or wish they'd achieve it. They decided they were going to do it. And because they made that commitment, everything they did followed. Where the people who wish and hope, if an obstacle gets in their way, they can kind of go, yeah, it really wasn't that important to me. It would have been nice, but no biggie. And they quit. Where the 17% are saying, no, I'm going to do this. Obstacle or not, I'm figuring a way around this. I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I really believe that's the number one reason why the 17% succeed and the 83% don't.
Yes. So language is so important. And also what I'm hearing with the former example of the ones who say, I hope to, there's a lack of commitment there, but I also would assume there's perhaps a lack of or a perceived fear of failure.
Most definitely. I mean, that's what you're right. That's 100% what it is. They're afraid that if they make the commitment, and then they fail, that their ego will be damaged. Their reputation, if they made it, you know, vocalize this to other people, that maybe the reputation would be damaged. You know, and the funny thing was, way back in my college days, I ran for student council president. Now, I'll be honest with you, up until about that point, my way of doing things was basically to not really give 100%. And if I failed, I would just say to myself, well, you know, if I had really tried, I probably could have done this. Running for student council president, I was the black horse. I wasn't even on the student council. But I had decided I'm going to do this and I wanted to win. I mean, I found out about the position. It sounded phenomenal. I wanted to win. And I did everything I could to make it happen. And I scared a lot of people, thought that I was going to win the thing. And I didn't. I lost. And the cool thing was, if there's a cool thing about losing the election, was the moment I heard that I lost, the first thought in my head wasn't, well, you know, if I'd really tried. That wasn't the thought. The thought was, I gave it my best shot. I did everything I could. Just wasn't meant to be. You know, I knew I'd given 100%. And I was okay with the fact that I didn't succeed. So it's funny, but even if you set a goal to lose 20 pounds in the next 6 months, if you commit to that, if you give it 100%, even if you only lose 15 pounds, 10 pounds, but you know you gave it 100% and you got closer, you'd be okay with that because you know you can do this. It's just going to take a little more time than you thought, but you know that you're capable of doing this and you'll just continue on. That's a big deal. That really matters in how much effort and how much time and how much strength people are going to put into achieving something.
Yeah. And I think the operative word there is effort and action. So with those who are committed to their goals and they can frame it in the affirmative, I am going to lose 5 pounds, then they're going to start looking at the small steps that they can commit to in order to meet that bigger goal.
Most definitely. In just about every goal you want to set, especially ones that, you know, that your listener is going to be trying to set, they're generally bigger goals. And a lot of times what's a really good idea is to take it and break it down to smaller pieces. So for example, at one point I got a certification as what's called a Microsoft Certified Systems Engineer, which basically means I taught computer networking. To achieve this, I had to pass six really grueling exams. The failure rate was 80 to 90%, right? I didn't spend my time thinking about, I got to get my MCC, I got to get my MCC, I got to get my MCC, I got to pass these six exams. All I did is set that goal. And then I went, okay, first thing I need to do is pass the first exam. And that's all I focused on. I didn't focus on passing six exams. I focused on passing one. And when I passed that one, I celebrated. And then the next goal was, now I need to pass the second one. Again, I didn't care about the other four. What was number two? And it made it put so much less pressure on me because I wasn't thinking all the time about this massive undertaking that most people fail on. All I was focused on was the next step. And I think that makes a big difference in accomplishing large goals if you can break it into smaller pieces.
And also I think staying present as well, not focusing on what if tomorrow I eat a hamburger, or what if, you know, like it's looking at what can you achieve today? What's manageable for you today, rather than getting caught up with the future? Because the future hasn't happened yet. You're in control.
And the simple fact is, you're going to fail along the way. I mean, that's just human nature. There literally is the former CEO of HP said that if you want to succeed quicker, fail faster.
Yes.
Because we learn so much more from our mistakes than we do from our successes. You're going to fail. If you're trying to lose weight, you're going to have bad days. You're going to eat that hamburger. You're going to, and that's okay. That's going to happen. The next day you just go, okay, that was that. Start over. Let's go. Yeah. And you continue on.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You got to understand we're human. We're going to have our bad days.
Yes. And that's why mindset is so important. And I think that, you know, with failure and looking at failure, for me, I perceive failure as a stepping stone to my success. And so I'm like, bring it on, like embrace failure because I'm going to learn. And when you learn, you become stronger. And so those who have a negative, let's say, relationship with failure, they will then experience feelings of shame and guilt that they didn't meet their goal. And then they tend to give up and go, well, what's the point? So I think it's very important to look at your mindset and relationship with regards to failure.
I think you're 100% right. That's exactly it. If you accept the fact that failure is just nothing but a stepping stone, right? That it's going to happen, and you just deal with it and you move on. And you know that every time you fail, you are closer to succeeding, right? Every time you're closer to succeeding. Yeah. And that way, again, a failure doesn't look like this over surmounting obstacle. It's just the next step towards success.
Totally. Now, do you have a formula around vision setting and goal setting?
I kind of do. I look at things with the big picture, and then I look at things much more granular. So for the purpose of this conversation, looking at the big picture is kind of like this. We all daydream about things. Right? You can daydream about, you know, the successes you like or the things you'd like to accomplish. But until you take these three steps, until you have what I call a clear and compelling vision for what you want for your life, exactly what it is you'd like your life to look like. And then decide, as we just talked about already, that you are going to do whatever it takes to make that happen. And then last, that you actually start taking massive action towards accomplishing that vision. You've got to do those three things. You've got to know exactly what you want. You've got to decide you're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And then you have to start taking action towards making that happen. You do those three things. You focus on that. You commit to that, and all of it will fall into play.
Okay. So what would you say to someone who may feel like they're a bit lost and they have no idea what their vision is and what they want?
It's probably the trickiest thing is knowing what you want. I mean, my 20s, when I got out of college, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I quite honestly just drifted through life. I did whatever I was doing, I did exceptionally well, but it wasn't towards an end goal. And I had to take the time to actually sit down and say, Rory, what do you want? What is it you want to do? What makes you happy? You have to commit to doing that. I mean, if that means, you know, going off in the woods and, you know, sitting by yourself for a half hour, or listening to the music that, you know, lets you think or whatever, you have to take the time and the effort. And my father told me this when I was in my 20s and I didn't listen to him. Mm-hmm. And he was 100% right. You have to make the decision to figure out who you are and what you want. And once I did that, everything changed. I have this dumb analogy. You're out in the middle of nowhere. No trees, no nothing. It's just flat land as far as the eye can see. You got a bow and arrow in your hand. You start shooting arrows. To what? What are you shooting them at? You have no idea. Somebody comes in and sets a target down 30 yards in front of you. Everything changes. You now have something to shoot at. You know exactly where it is. Everything about how you think about it, how your muscles will react, everything will be totally different. Mm. It is that important that you do whatever you have to do. Take the time to figure out who you want to be and what you want. Mm. And it doesn't have to be for the rest of your life. What I figured out I wanted when I did was a great beginning, but it wasn't the end. It wasn't what I'm doing now. Mm. It led me towards what I'm doing now. So the first thing was discovering that I actually wanted to teach, not school, but I was teaching computer classes, right? My first class that I taught, very first one, the first day I ever taught a computer class. When the students left, I was jumping up and down. I realized I found it. Uh-huh. I had found what I should be doing. I should be teaching. Mm. This is what I should be doing. Mm. And it's what I've been doing ever since. It's morphed as to what I taught and how deep the subjects are that I teach, but it started me down that road. It is that essential. That is by far the first step.
Yes. And I love that when you said that you started to get excited when you were teaching, because I feel like our emotions are our inner compass, our guidance system. So leverage that. When you feel excitement or joy in a task or an activity, that is a very telling sign that that is an innate passion or strength of yours.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'll tell you something else too, that I consider to be, I was lucky that it was ingrained in me from the very beginning of my childhood, but and I'm sure you have seen this too. I've known people that their philosophy of life basically is, I don't like what I'm doing right now, so I really don't care. I'm not putting out any effort, but when I get my dream job, when I find what it is I really want to do, well, then I'm going to give 100%. It doesn't work that way. While I was looking for whatever it was that who I wanted to be, whatever I was doing at the time, I did it to the best of my ability. So when it came time that I found what I wanted to do, my habit was to do it to the best of my ability. I didn't have to learn how to do that now. It was what I naturally did. And it made it so much easier for me to succeed. Not only did I know what I wanted and I was thrilled about it, but I knew how to be my best. So even while you're looking for who it is you want to be and what you want to do during that time, no matter what it is, whatever you're doing at the time, do it to your best of your ability. So that's your habit. So when you find your passion, you find that path, you'll just explode.
Amazing. So I've got a little strategy that I like to use, and I'm going to put it forward to you. Why are you a strategic success coach?
Why am I strategic success? After everything that I was doing, everything that kind of, as I drifted and moved in the direction, I found that what I really loved doing was giving people a strategy and a path to how to succeed. You know, I call what I teach the success blueprint. It's a 5-step success blueprint. And I love teaching that blueprint, teaching people what steps they need to teach in order to become their best at whatever it is that they're going to do. And it doesn't matter. But that was the thing that I really enjoyed. It wasn't just as I morphed into what I really wanted to do, what I was really passionate about. It was even when I taught computer networking, what I loved about it was that I was improving people's lives. Uh-huh. People who were coming in who had jobs they didn't want to do, careers that weren't leading anywhere, but this could. You know, becoming a computer network administrator would have meant more money, more potential, a better life for them. And I loved that I was doing that. Mm. It wasn't why I chose the job, but it ended up being the part of the job I loved the best. Mm. And so as time went on, that's how I found myself where I am now, that I love giving people a strategy, a plan, a step-by-step process they can follow to become their best and succeed at whatever they set their mind to.
Okay. So why is it important to you to have that opportunity to improve people's lives?
I guess I like making a difference. I like that feeling that somebody's life is better off having met me, right? That I've made a difference in their life, that I've somehow improved their situation, gave them hope, gave them possibilities, and I had an impact. And that's a high to me. That makes me feel really good.
Okay. And why is it important for you to be able to make an impact in someone's life?
All right. Now let's see here. Why is it important?
What does that give you?
It makes me feel good about myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It makes me feel good about myself.
Okay. I won't ask you another why, but through asking all those whys, this is a great exercise to do if you're feeling a bit lost and want to really niche down and understand, you know, what is the meaning of work to you? What is the purpose behind what you do? And we started off talking about teaching was important to you. Then improving people's lives was important to you. Making a difference was important to you. And that made you feel good. So that is exactly why you do what you do. And it's very back to the analogy of the arrow. And that's your target. That's it. That's your why.
Yes, that is my why. You're right. You're 100% right. Yeah.
It's so very
well done. Well, that's interesting.
And another thing, I think if people are feeling lost, I don't know if you know about the wheel of life and how that works. So looking at your areas of priority and whether that be your work, your career, relationship, recreation, personal development or professional development, all these areas of your life that you place value on, and having a look at it from a helicopter's eye view and going, okay, well, how happy am I from a scale of 1 to 10 in this particular area? Like how's my career actually going for me right now? How's my health going for me right now? How's my relationship with my partner? And then once you're able to put a label or a score attached to it, you, I think, would be in a better position to take action and make those goals in order to increase your happiness within that area.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely be a case. I mean, if you find that there's an area where you're feeling like you're a 10, you're obviously good in that area, and that doesn't need to be an area of focus. I mean, you obviously want to continue doing what you're doing and improve on yourself because you always want to improve, but you can take their energy and channel it towards the areas where your score is lower, but it is something you really want to do better, that you want to be better at.
Yes.
So yes, 100%.
Yeah.
There's a lot of self-evaluation tools that are out there that you can use to get that. I mean, when I think about, like, there's things that when I look back at my childhood, right? There are things that should have been signs to me where my passion strengths were. I was teaching other children how to do the lessons the teacher had taught when I was 11 years old.
Amazing.
That's what I would do. Now, especially the pretty girls, but I was a good student. And when I learned something, I could teach it. And I started doing that, right? And that I was doing that at 11. When I ran for student council president, the biggest high I got was when we had to do 6 public speeches in front of the student body, 6 different speeches. And after I was done, my fellow candidates were coming up to me and going, "How'd you do that?" I said, "Do what? How did you talk like that?" Like, these people were just listening to you. And it's like, I don't know, but I loved it. Right. Mm. And even thought, well, if I was self-aware, I might've realized, wow, I love to teach and I really like getting in front of people. And maybe I would have started down that road. No, I had to wait until 10, 12 years later to realize that was the case.
Yeah, it's funny
But the
that.
problem was for me, I didn't do a lot of self-reflection. And that was a mistake, right? I
Yes.
didn't take the time and energy required
Yeah.
to learn about myself,
Yeah.
right? I just allowed myself to drift. And that's a bad thing. Drifting is bad,
Yeah.
right? Again, if you don't have a vision, you drift.
Yes.
So it's important that using the tools you suggested and
Yeah.
taking the time and
Yeah.
committing to doing that, to discovering who, what is it that gives you joy? What is it that makes you feel good? You know, and pursuing that and seeing if that's something that you would like to make a career out of, but taking the time and work and energy required to make that happen.
Yeah.
Because the payoff in the long run
It's
is
massive.
phenomenal.
Yeah. And I think you just highlighted their key emotional intelligence attributes. Being self-aware is huge. I think being curious and open to feedback is another. And I would also say compassion or self-love. It might sound a bit woo-woo, but I think those are so important. Going back to our conversation about having a fear that you won't achieve your goal. So if you do fail, for example, and stuff up, it's like, you know what, that's okay. I learned from that. So I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going to do something different next time when I'm in that situation.
I think, I mean, again, you know, from my own experiences, that would fall into alignment. I mean, my level of self-confidence up until probably my late 20s was not good. You know, I have horrible eyesight. I went through all the crap that you go through when you've got horrible eyesight as a child, and my confidence level was about myself was really bad. I literally, when I was in my 20s, I had to be around people all the time. All the time, I had to be around people. And I actually made myself stay home on Saturday nights every now and then and just rent a movie, get some popcorn or some licorice or whatever, and just be by myself. I had to make myself do that to get more comfortable with me and learn to like me, that I'm a good guy, you know? And it was amazing how beneficial that was to me. Not to have to need to be around people, but love being around people. There's a difference between the two.
Yes. Huh, that's really interesting. And actually
Yeah,
reminds
it
me of
was.
my journey in terms of self-love. I think I was I what year was I would be perhaps 8 or 9 years of age, and I couldn't look at myself in the mirror. So at school there were individual sinks with a little mirror, and I'd wash my hands, but I couldn't get myself to look at myself because I didn't like myself. And that's triggered the journey for me in terms of the self-help books and being curious and wanting to do better and learn more about myself so that I can accept me for who I am.
That's a big deal. I mean,
Yeah.
that's a really big tool to, I mean, if you want to be successful at anything, what you just said is a big deal. It sounds like you said, it sounds like, you know, woo-woo. It isn't. It's a major factor in how much you're willing to put in, how much you're willing to fight for it, you know, liking yourself, loving yourself, and believing yourself is a big deal when it comes to success, because very few things that are worth achieving come super easy. They usually require work and require learning and require overcoming obstacles. And the more you love yourself and like yourself and believe in yourself, the more willing you are to pursue those things that are going to be difficult, that are going to have obstacles, instead of going, you know, thinking, no, that's, you know, when I went after my MCSE, 80 to 90% failure rate. And I never even seen a network, computer network. And I thought I was going to get my MCSE. By that time in my life, I was a much more confident person. And I knew that if it was simply about learning, I can learn anything.
Yeah.
No problem whatsoever. I
Yeah.
can do it. And
Yeah.
I did. And I did whatever it took to make it happen. I mean, the amount of hours I put in to pass the exams, you know, working a day job and doing that at night, I did what it took. But it was because I knew I could do it. Now, if that had opportunity present itself in my early 20s, I probably wouldn't have done it because I wouldn't have had that belief in myself.
Amazing. The power of self-belief and how that's connected to achieving your goals. It's huge.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
It's, I had somebody, I was in, in my early 30s, I left a job that I ran the computer division for a major Fortune 100 company in Los Angeles. And I had told one of the big deals, big guys that I worked with, that I wanted to possibly go from there, because I was running this retail division. And I was going to go, and I thought maybe what I'd like to do is teach sales.
Yeah.
You know, go out and teach sales. And he said to me, I don't think that's really a viable thing to do. And I immediately dropped it. And I look back at that now and I go, what on earth was I thinking?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and I got to the point where I actually was teaching sales. But at the time, I just dropped that idea because his opinion at that time in my life was worth more to me than my own.
Mm.
I let it go.
Mm.
And the funny thing is, I mean, everything happens for a reason. So I don't too often spend time going, well, if only I had, you know? But the fact is, you know, I started what I do now later in life, where maybe I could have started in my early 30s, you know, and helped a lot more people over that time period.
Yes.
And made myself feel good.
Gosh, Rory. Yeah, fascinating. So I love asking this question, especially for you as a success coach. Is there a memory you have working with a client and they had a massive breakthrough that you felt, you know, that feeling of joy, like, wow, I've really helped them?
Yes, I had one particular person in particular always stands out if I think about something like this, you know, what I'm proud of that I've accomplished. You know, this person always stands out to me. She was one of the most intelligent, caring people that I'd ever met and lacked complete confidence in herself. And she always doubted her ability to do things. And what I found was that I had to put her in a position of always pushing her out of her comfort zone. That's what I spent most of my time doing, pushing her out of her comfort zone, to the point where I one time told her that she had to do something with no advance notice and no preparation, but I needed her to do this. And she was not happy with me. She was very unhappy with me. And she went and did it. Mm. And she succeeded at a high level. Wow. And when she came back, she was still not happy with me, but she was thrilled with me. It was like a turning point. She realized she could do this. You know, she just went out and did it and just succeeded at a really high level. And it's not something just anybody can do, but she had the ability to do it. She just didn't believe in herself.
Yeah.
And now she's doing wonderfully. And I always feel good when I think about her. There you go, that feeling good.
Yeah.
I always feel good when I think about her.
Yeah. Amazing. And I know you listen to a lot of audiobooks. Do you have a favorite at the moment?
I don't know. Quite honestly, not at the moment, because I would listen to a lot of times while driving, and now I'm not driving so much. So I haven't been listening as much. I will say that I think 7 Habits of Highly Effective People is a great book. Mm-hmm. I listen to that. Matter of fact, we're coming up on it. Every January, I listen to that book.
Oh.
I think there's always things that I can get from it. You know, I listen when I talk to people or I read about people when that question is asked, you know, what your favorite books are. A lot of times I hear people that they'll reread the same book almost annually, you know, because they get something different out of it every time they read it, or it reinforces things. And I think Stephen Covey's way of looking at the world and how to interact with people. And my thing is always with people, how to interact with people, how to help people, how to treat other people. Mm. And his view of the world was, I thought, excellent.
Mm.
And so I learned a lot from reading that book, and I do highly recommend it. And also, it's as old as it is, How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yes.
And again, for the same reason, it is a success book, but it's really about how do we treat our fellow human beings?
Yeah.
Right? And the better you do that for their sake, the more you get from it.
Yeah, amazing.
So those are my two. I think those are like, you know, everything requires a good foundation. Mm-hmm. I think those two books are an excellent foundation.
Mm. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome. And
how do people find you? How do people get in touch?
My website is www.rorypeters.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a free download right now. It is what I consider to be my most powerful tool towards accomplishing any goal that I set my mind to. And it's a free download. You just go to my website, top of the website, just click on, fill in your name and email, click on the button, it's yours.
Amazing. Well, thanks, Rory, so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And
oh, it was my pleasure.
Oh, thank you. And before we go, those who are listening, I would love for you to share with Rory and I your goals for 2021 below. And remember to frame it in a committed way rather than right. I hope to. So we look
That's
forward
right.
to seeing those. Thanks for
As your if you've time. Already accomplished it.
Yes, exactly. Thanks so much for your time, Rory.
Again, my pleasure. Thank you.